things this evening from God's Word. But first, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that as we gather here together this evening, we gather with something to celebrate. That is not simply to celebrate this coming Christmas season, but to celebrate, Father, the reality that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to us. Father, it was 2,000 years ago, but the significance of that event then is still significant today. It mattered then, and it matters to us in the here and now. Because the one who came and was born in Bethlehem's manger, laid there in that manger as a little baby, is the one who history revolves around. And not just human story, but your story. Your story of salvation for us. So we thank you and we bless you. And we pray that, Father, as we spend time together this evening, we'll not simply be here and sing some carols and get sentimental, but rather we would remember the good news and see the Savior as the one who Christmas is all about. These things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm going to ask at this point Jim Roddy to come and read to us from Micah chapter 5, and then we'll sing together. After Jim has read from Micah, we'll sing O Little Town of Bethlehem, number 503. Thank you, Jim. Thank you.
Micah chapter 5, reading from verse 2 to the beginning of verse 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you're small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace.
Now let's sing together number 503, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Let's stand as we sing.
Silently, the wondrous
take our seats now, we're going to come to our second reading from Luke chapter 2. And Maureen Campbell is going to come and read. Thank you, Maureen.
Readings from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
You. Thanks, Maureen. We're going to sing together two songs. One is very much a traditional carol, the carol Silent Night. We'll remain seated as we sing this. Then I want to invite you to stand and sing the only carol within our service this evening that wouldn't be thought of as one of those traditional Christmas carols, yet a lovely carol called Come Now with Awe. And it's set to the tune that some of you may know, a tune called Finlandia. We'll stand to sing that, but first, we'll remain seated as we sing together number 597, Silent Night, and then number 98, Come Now with All. Let's keep our seats as we sing Silent Night. Singing together this lovely, more recent Christmas hymn, carol. It's number 98 in the books. Come Now with Awe. Let's stand as we sing. Seats, and as we do take our seats, I would like to ask Margaret MacLeod to come and bring to us our third reading again from Luke chapter 2. Thanks, Margaret.
The reading's taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David,
A Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you, Margaret. And one of our lovely carols that tells that story of the coming of the angels with a message to the shepherds is the first Noel. It's number 644 in our books, and we're going to sing that together now. 644. Let's stand to sing.
The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay. In fields where they lay, lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so
Noel, 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 born is the King.
our Christmas readings from Matthew's Gospel, the coming of the wise men. Jim Coffey is going to come and bring this reading to us now. Thanks, Jim.
Our reading is taken tonight from Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his stars in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people, chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And coming to the house, they saw the child and with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of frankincense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they return to their own country by another route. We ask God's blessing upon the reading of his word.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. Each of these readings this evening has brought a different aspect of the Christmas story. The first reading from Micah in the Old Testament prophesied how the Messiah, the promised one of God, would be born in Bethlehem. Against all expectations, you would think that the King of the Jews would be born in Jerusalem. But no, Micah said he'll be born in Bethlehem. And that is where he was born. A reading from Luke's Gospel tells us of how that birth came about. And Maureen read that. Margaret read from further on in Luke, we heard about the message going to the shepherds and how they found Jesus, and now we've heard about the wise men. These are all parts of the story. Parts of the story which, in all honesty, the Christmas message would not be complete without. But sometimes it is so easy for us to get wrapped up in so much of the stuff that surrounds Christmas nowadays that we lose sight of what the message is all about. Over the past few weeks, when we've gathered together here on a Sunday evening, we've been thinking about how the message came about and how God was preparing things. And we thought about the way that the Roman Empire had rule over the whole region, and how in many ways God had prepared a world for the coming of his son. We thought then, last week, of Mary and how God had prepared a body, her body, and then the body of his own son, whom Mary gave birth to. But this evening, I want us to think about not a world prepared or a body prepared, but a people prepared. What one of you is willing to say this evening you're prepared for Christmas? I don't see any hands. And let me assure you, I'm not putting mine up either. in terms of preparations, getting ready for Christmas, there is probably a lot that we still need to do. Of course, there are those who have already got a lot done. I want to take you back there to the end of November, on that day they call Black Friday. Now, I don't know if that's a scene in our local Tesco. I don't recognise the shopping trolley, but you heard some of the stories that were going on Black Friday, you know, people getting arrested, police closing stores because folks were fighting over their bargains. We think at least they might be able to get it over and done with on Black Friday, and that's the shopping taken care of. Was it? No. You see, right on the heels of Black Friday, for those of us who are a wee bit more au fait with our computers, comes Cyber Monday. And that's when everybody does all their shopping online, we're told, as they're busy trying to get prepared for Christmas. Now, I can tell you, I'd heard about Black Friday for a few years, and Cyber Monday, I've probably heard about that for 2 or 3 years. But yesterday, I heard a phrase that I had never heard before. Can anyone tell, before the slide goes up, can anyone tell me what people were calling yesterday? Panic Saturday, David. That's what they were calling it. Panic Saturday. Were any of you in town panicking? Can you see yourself there? I doubt it. It's Oxford Street. But that's not to say that someone wasn't down there. Panic Saturday. But maybe some of you are sitting here this evening and saying, I'm not panicking. I've got all the presents done. All the shopping's taken care of. No worries. Well, some of you have got Thursday to think about. And the dinner. The Christmas dinner. What an affair that is. Maybe we could have that next slide. Is that what any of us have in mind? It might be what we have in mind, but what we'll actually end up producing might be somewhat different. I still remember Christmas Day in our wee house. I'm not wanting pity here. It's beginning to sound like one of these sort of long, sad stories that just gets worse and worse as it goes on. But I still remember Christmas dinner in our house in Wishaw. And I always remember for a fact it was usually cold, so what I mean, that the steam was running down the inside of the windows. It was in those days when you still got steel-framed windows. Double glazing hadn't been invented. Well, if it had, it certainly hadn't appeared in our scheme. But steel-framed windows with the condensation running down and, of course, often freezing along the bottom of the window. And our table at the end of the living room, and my mum threw in the kitchen. And usually around about 3 p.m. on Christmas afternoon, that's when meltdown occurred. Can I get some help in here? Was what I would always hear. And I'm sure some similar cries may be heard around Ayr and Prestwick and further around in these coming days. No matter whether it's our shopping or no matter whether it's even Christmas dinner, we want to be prepared. We want to be prepared for Christmas. But I want to pick that theme up just for a few thoughts with you together this evening before we then get to sing Hark the Herald Angels. You see, the thought of being prepared for Christmas, not just a world prepared or a body prepared, but a people prepared, is something that actually comes right out of the Bible. I'm going to read to you a verse. I'm not going to read all these verses because you've got them there in front of you, and I don't need to read them again because we'll see them. But you know, just right before these verses that we see in front of us just now, in Luke's Gospel, we find something being said about someone. And I could say to you, who do you think that is? And because right now the answer, I'm sure, to every question is Jesus. Some might think it is. But this is actually about a man called John the Baptist. And these words are spoken by John the Baptist's father. And I'll be honest, the things he had to say about his son are quite incredible. You know,
I'm not quite sure what parents think of when their children are born, and what they're going to be, and what their role in life is going to be. But wait till you hear what Zechariah had to say about his son, John the Baptist. He said, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him." John the Baptist, this little boy born to Zechariah and Elizabeth, was given the role by God of preparing a people for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, friends, even though we might be prepared with all our Christmas shopping, and we've got all our cards in the post, we did it this year. Probably the first year in 4 or 5, but we got them all in the post before the last posting date. But whether it's getting the cards posted, the presents purchased, or even making sure that we've got the goose fat before Tesco and Asda sell out of it for roasting the potatoes and everything else that goes on, we could so easily lose sight of the fact that ultimately being prepared for Christmas is not about what is wrapped up underneath your Christmas tree, or what is in the fridge waiting to get cooked on Thursday. It's about what is in your heart. Because you see, Jesus didn't come into this world simply to give us an excuse to give presents or receive presents. Jesus didn't come into this world to give us an excuse to have a special meal. And by that I mean Christmas dinner. Jesus came into this world for a very special purpose. And that purpose is revealed in the next 3 lines, the next 3 verses that continue in what Zechariah had to say to his son. I don't know what John the Baptist was making of it at that point. It was just a newborn baby. But the Word of God records for us why John was here. Look at these words. "You will prepare the way for him," notice first, "to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." Before we can consider ourselves prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to understand what he came to give. And John the Baptist was the one who was calling on the people to get right with God. But the day that Jesus appeared, John the Baptist said to the people who had started following him, "Don't follow me. Follow Jesus." Down through history, so many have risen up and said, "Follow me, I'm the way, I'm the way." From the moment John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Follow him. Listen to him. Follow him." Why? Because he can give you something that no one else can. He can give you the knowledge, that is the understanding, the assurance, that your sins are forgiven. I can tell you, there are people this Christmas who will get no end of gifts, but they won't have peace of mind. You know why? Because peace of mind is something that money can't buy. And the ultimate peace of mind comes in knowing that we are right with God. That our sins have been forgiven. The sins that you commit, the sins that I commit, the sins that we all commit, that those sins have been forgiven in order that we can be brought into a relationship with God. And how does this come about? It comes about through Jesus. It comes about through the one who came to this earth, who came, was born as a baby, some 33 years later would die upon a cross, You say, well, what does that have to do with my sins being forgiven? You see, friends, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. Whose blood? Your blood for the sins you've deserved, sins you've committed. Or the amazing reality that God came into this world and became one of us in order to give himself in our place and make that sacrifice as our substitute that we could never make. We could never make that perfect sacrifice. Jesus did. And that brings us the forgiveness of sins. Oh, friends, there are people going to get presents this year that have probably cost thousands, if not tens of thousands of pounds. But you know something? Deep inside, there will be no peace. Because they don't know God as their Father, as the one who's forgiven their sins. But that's what God can give. You might be saying, but why would God do that? Why would God do that for me? Look at the second verse. Because of the tender mercy of our God. The reason that God is willing to come into this world, the reason is John 3:16 says that God so loved the world is because of his love. Because of his tenderness. Well, one of us this evening have this idea that God is some angry being there who's always, as it were, just out to get us. Friends, don't discount the fact that God is holy, God is awesome, and there is a rightful place in that for wrath against sin. But the Bible also tells us of that same God's tender mercy. Tender mercy that loves us so much that he came into this world by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven. That's the language that Zechariah uses to speak of Jesus. He came into this world. Not only would come from heaven, but would come to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. You know, as Zechariah spoke those words, he was thinking a way, way back. He was thinking a way back to words the prophet Isaiah had spoken. Words the prophet Isaiah had spoken 700 years before. He described a world of darkness. He described a world in which people would look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom. And then he said this, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given and the government will be on his shoulders and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Who is Isaiah speaking of? 700 years before that first Christmas, he is describing the Lord Jesus to a T. He is describing him perfectly. The one who would come. The one who would shine on those living in darkness. Here we are right in the middle of winter, the shortest day of the year. But you know, this world's not just dark because the sun's gone down. This world's dark because men's hearts are not right with God. Women's hearts are not right with God. But into that darkness comes light. As we sang in one of our carols, the everlasting And what does Jesus do? He comes to guide our feet into the path of peace. I said just a little while ago that no matter how much money may be spent on presents, it won't buy peace. Jesus came to bring us peace. That's why one of the other names, the names even that Isaiah said, was Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace, the one who can bring peace to those who look to him. You know something? That whole plan, that whole purpose of God was something he had worked out in eternity past. Think for a minute of how he prepared a world. You know, the Roman Empire at that time numbered about 60 million people. Yet God put it in the heart of Caesar Augustus right at that point, right as Mary was nearing the end of her pregnancy, to demand that everyone return to the town of their birth in order for a census to be conducted. 60 million people on the move. Why? So that a little girl called Mary, expecting a baby, would be far away from Nazareth, the place where she knew, where indeed her family were, and find herself in Bethlehem to fulfill the promise and the purpose of God. Friends, who knows what way God has been working in your life, working even in new situations in which, in all honesty, you might say, I cannot see how God could have had any part in this. How God has been working in situations to bring you to where you are today. To bring you to where you are right now. To bring you to this place this evening where you hear of a God who forgives sins because he sent his Son into this world to pay the price for our sins. To hear of a God who in tender mercy sent his Son into this world. To hear of a God who guides our feet into the way of peace. You see, friends, for us truly to be prepared for Christmas, it's not so much about what we've purchased. It's about where we are with God. Have we found him? Have we known him? Could it even be that God has brought one of us here this evening? In that hearing this story, of hearing of the love of God, in giving his Son and sending him into this world, and seeing something in someone's heart that says, I'm needing peace. But nothing else gives me that. Can I find true peace in Christ? And I say, yes, you can. Because that true peace is found as we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Does that mean that from then on, everything's wonderful, everything's rosy, what a great old life we'll have? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. But it means that deep in our hearts, we know that we have peace with God. And as a result of peace with God, we can know the peace of God. That's good news. That's why Christmas is good news. Oh yeah. I'll be disappointed if there's nothing under the tree on Thursday morning. Sure I will. You would as well. I'm looking forward to something nice to eat. But that's not what Christmas is really about. Christmas is about being prepared for Jesus. Because you know, the Jesus who came as a baby and was born in Bethlehem's manger is coming again. He's coming again no longer as a baby, but as a conquering king. And the Bible tells us as a judge, the judge of all men. What a dreadful day that will be if we're not prepared. but for those who are prepared, for those who the Bible describes as those who are longing for his coming. What a wonderful day that will be when Christ comes again. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. But today, you can be prepared. And as we sing our closing carol, I ask you to ask yourself, am I prepared for the coming of the Lord? Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, number 211. Let's stand as we sing.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all you nations rise, join the triumph of the with angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the
Father, we thank you for peace. We thank you for the peace that Christ alone can give, and the peace that has come through his coming. Oh, Father, may that peace be ours this Christmas time. May we know indeed within our hearts that no matter what other preparation may still be left undone, our hearts are prepared. Our hearts are prepared for the coming of the Savior. These things we ask. We ask them in his precious name. Amen. Can I say, friends, that I hope that we'll see some of you on Christmas Eve. But if I don't, then I want to take this opportunity to wish each of you God's blessing this Christmas time, and a truly happy Christmas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.